You are Locked On Eagles, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Eagles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in, everybody. Close that door behind you and lock it. Let's get locked in on the Philadelphia Eagles right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Bringing it in with some Philadelphia today. I'm feeling good, guys, on this Tuesday edition of the show, and I don't know if you guys are probably feeling the same way after a pretty devastating loss just a couple days ago, but look, for me, with the Eagles right now, I am the ultimate optimist after they won the Super Bowl last year, and I'm kind of, you know, I said on the show yesterday, and if you missed it, you can check it out on LockedOnEagles.com or on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere that we post podcasts, we're up and available on those platforms. What I basically said was that, I mean, after that loss, it seemed like the playoffs were out of reach, and, you know, the NFC East was the most realistic way to get into the postseason. And with that loss, with Dallas now up two games, unless they lost all three and the Eagles won all three of their final games, they wouldn't be winning the NFC East. But after watching Minnesota lose to Seattle yesterday, the Eagles could still make it even with another loss. The Eagles could lose to the Rams this Sunday and still make it at 8-8 with a pretty realistic path. And I'm feeling pretty good, and I know the Eagles have to take care of their own business, which they just really haven't so far this season. But I watched that team yesterday, or on Sunday, and if there's one thing I have confidence in with this Eagles team is that they're going to fight till the very end for these final three games. That defense played two games worth of snaps, and they still ended up making a huge play to force overtime. Malcolm Jenkins played 100 snaps. That team has so much fight in it, and it's the one thing I don't have any doubt in with Doug Peterson, is that he still has this locker room, and he still has those guys playing for him, because that was a gutsy performance, and I still think that this team can pull it off, and there's still a chance, and that's what makes this fun, is that we're not in a 2016 situation where, really, after probably week 10, you pretty much knew it was over. And the rest of it was kind of just hoping Carson Wentz got out of his funk. He started making you feel promising heading into the offseason that when he got some weapons, he'd be able to take that next step, which he did. It's not that kind of situation. The Eagles are still playing into December with a chance to make the playoffs. And I still cannot believe that there is this realistic of a chance after the most important game of the season that we were hyping up all week long last week. After that loss, they are still in this, and they have a very realistic path at the wild card, especially if they win all three games. And, you know, later on in the week when we start Rams week, tomorrow with our crossover edition with Locked On Rams, I'll get into the playoff scenarios, how the Eagles can still pull this off and make it as a wild card team, because I'm kind of moving towards that now with the NFC East basically out of reach unless the Cowboys collapse, which is possible, but they'd have to lose to the Colts, the Buccaneers, and the Giants. So we'll get into some playoff talk later on in the week, but we got to talk about some more important things, I feel like, for the future of the Philadelphia Eagles. Today is the coordinators cast. There was a lot of news and a lot of talk going around today and yesterday about the Eagles coaching staff, and a former Eagles coach was let go today in Minnesota in John DeFilippo. So we're going to get into that as well. It's the coordinators cast edition of Locked On Eagles on this Tuesday show, December 11th. And we're going to start off, guys, with Mike Groh. Yesterday, if you missed the show, we kind of talked about how Gino, my co-host Gino Camilleri, he started the new hashtag Grow Without Grow, because we were talking about how Doug Peterson needs to grow as a head coach. I mean, this is a guy that, again, is only in his third year. He needs to adapt, or he's going to die as a head coach, just like Chip Kelly did and a lot of those guys. And he's part of the reason. He's got to be someone that changes himself, because if you're successful as a head coach, you're going to have coordinators moving in and out for years to come. You see that with Bill Belichick, with Andy Reid. But Mike Groh's also got to be a part of that. Doug Peterson, again, is still a young head coach. He's used to having Frank Reich and John DeFilippo and Groh and Deuce Staley and a big offensive coaching staff that was huge in the game plan and was huge in making Peterson a Super Bowl-winning head coach in just his second year. And Mike Groh has been anything but a strength for Doug Peterson to rely on this year. And I watched that press conference today. I don't know how you just listen to him talk and you think that guy is someone we have confidence in that can help this offense bounce back, even if it's not this year in these next three games, which I think people forget that you still have three games to make you feel better heading into the offseason and maybe more if they can make the playoffs. But I watch and I listen to some of the answers Mike Rowe has for the media. And I'm sorry, and I know it's his first year, but that is not a guy that I want running my offense with Doug Peterson. It isn't. There were some alarming things that I heard today. And that's why I think Grow Without Grow is a pretty big priority for this Eagles team, is getting another offensive mind in that building. And I don't know if they're going to fire Mike Grow, but regardless, he should not be second in command, if you ask me. He just doesn't sound like a guy that I trust to help out with Carson Wentz. I mean, the quote about Josh Adams, when they asked why they went away from the run game, saying how they just didn't have a lot of opportunities to run the football. I don't know if you guys saw it. Felt like a blowout in that game. But the Eagles, for the most part, for the majority of that football game, were only one score back. Right? The end of the half, they were only down by less than a touchdown with an extra point. Rasul Douglas was keeping them in that football game. Interceptions by Douglas and Corey Graham, the defense, kept them in that football game. With probably a couple minutes left in the second quarter, that entire first half, they could have established the run. They had so many opportunities to do it with Josh Adams, who ripped off some big runs in his first couple carries, and then immediately they went away with it. And again, I don't know how much of it's on Doug Peterson, of how much of it's on Mike Groh, but Mike Groh is part of the responsibility when it comes to running the football. And he was the guy that was questioned about that today, and his answer was terrible. You guys had plenty of opportunities to run the football. You didn't have to start throwing back into that football game until the fourth quarter when the defense just seemed like they couldn't hold any longer. And the part about Golden Tate today. So they asked Mike Groh why Golden Tate only played 34% of the snaps. And his excuse was that they used a lot of 12 personnel. They were using Dallas Goedert and Zach Ertz on the field at the same time. And with 12 personnel, you normally only have two receivers out there. And it's normally Alshon Jeffrey and Nelson Agholor. That's fine. And I understand that. The problem is that the Eagles, for the most part this season, have been an 11 personnel team that has used three wide receivers and normally just Zach Ertz. Howie Roseman goes out there and gets you this sweet rookie tight end that you saw on Sunday, runs like Travis Kelce, and you really underutilized him for the majority of the season. When he's been out there, he has made plays in the passing game and even in the blocking game. He has been a huge add when it comes to the Eagles' run offense. So you really underutilized him. You like to go a lot of 11 personnel. Okay, so what does Howie Roseman do? He goes out at the trade deadline. And Howie Roseman, I don't blame him for adding either. Even if he wasn't, if the collaboration with the head coaching staff was not as strong as it maybe should be when it comes to roster acquisitions. Regardless, he was just getting them weapons to work with. If you wanted to use a tight end, good. If you want to use a receiver. So they used a lot of 11 personnel. What does Howie Roseman do? He goes out and he gets Golden Tate for you. Now you're using 12 personnel with Dallas Goedert. That's on the coaches. That's on the coaches that you spent a third round pick on Golden Tate because for the majority of the season, you were running three wide receivers. Jordan Matthews was playing more than Dallas Goedert when they got Jordan Matthews back this year. And now it's the other way around. They do not have the right balance, and a lot of that is on Mike Groh. Doug Peterson, for the most part, he has head coaching duties, he has play calling duties. Mike Groh has to be a big part of that. He's got to be. We don't know exactly 100% what Mike Groh does. Right, this is something that when people talk about Frank Reich and John DeFilippo, what they did for the Eagles, no one really, really knows. I mean, we can hear what coaches say they do, you know, in reports, and sources kind of say what's been going on inside closed doors. But for the most part, we really don't know. But you got to assume Mike Groh as the offensive coordinator has a lot to do with Golden Tate not getting enough snaps, or Dallas Goedert not getting enough snaps, or Josh Adams not getting the ball enough, or why Wendell Smallwood is out there on second and goal in the slot instead of Golden Tate. That's got to be on Mike Groh. Big responsibility has got to be on Mike Groh. And another reason that, to me, maybe Groh was good on this staff, just not as an offensive coordinator, is that Carson Wentz right now, he doesn't look confident. I mean, those first three quarters, he looked like he had the yips. And is this the guy we trust to get Wentz out of those funks, to push Carson Wentz when he's struggling? Because John DeFilippo and Frank Wright, they were there doing that last year and in Carson Wentz's rookie year, and they're not here anymore yet. And we'll get into that in the second segment. But confidence does look like an issue for Wentz. I don't know if it's because of the injury. I think a lot of it has to do with the injury, but I think a lot of it has to do with the coaching staff as well and the play calls. Because those scripted plays to start off the games are not working. And a lot of that is on the coaches. I don't think they're utilizing Carson Wentz as well as they have in past years. And Mike Groh, again, is part of coming up with that game plan. He is the offensive coordinator. You got to have some. I mean, Doug Peterson's going to have a lot of the responsibility, but Mike Groh has a lot of that responsibility as well. And those first 15 plays on offense that you practice all week long, those are scripted. Those are a big part of the game plan that is come up with by the coaches. And Mike Groh, man, he's not great at press conferences, and today he did not help his cause. Coming up next on the Lockdown Eagles podcast. So we're talking about maybe the Eagles need a change at offensive coordinator. Well, a former Eagles coach that was key in Carson Wentz's development his first 2 years, John DeFilippo, was let go by the Minnesota Vikings. Could we see a return with Flip in Philly? That's coming up next right here on the Lockdown Eagles podcast, sponsored today, guys, by DraftKings. That's right. DraftKings is now sponsoring the Lockdown Eagles podcast. And this Sunday, the Eagles have a pretty big showdown with the Los Angeles Rams. This single game could go a long way in clearing up the playoff picture for the Birds. If they win this game, the wild card is looking very realistic for Philadelphia. And it could go a long way for you guys, too, not just the Eagles. If they lose, you can still win huge cash prizes. Single game fantasy football is the newest way to play at DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy football. And if you've been thinking about trying DraftKings, now's the time. DraftKings has taken fantasy football from just 1 week to just one game, making it easier to draft your lineup. All you have to do is draft six players from the Eagles-Rams game. So you're going to take one captain and five other players. Your captain that you take is going to earn 1.5 times the points. Go for the value, maybe with a guy like Nelson Agholor, or maybe Dallas Goedert, if he's going to get the ball more in 12 personnel. Or maybe you go for the star power in Zach Ertz or Alshon Jeffrey. It's that simple. Six players from one game. Just stay under the salary cap and see how your team stacks up against the competition. So we have some Lockdown listener competitions. You got to go to DraftKings.com or download the app now. Use the code LOCKDOWN, that's LOCKEDON, to enter a single game fantasy football contest for free this week with your first deposit and complete your share of over $1 million in total prizes. That's code LOCKDOWN, LOCKEDON, only at DraftKings. The game inside the game, and I'm going to tweet out the link for the Lockdown Eagles leagues that we create for the Thursday night game this Thursday and also for the Sunday night game Eagles-Rams. So follow me on Twitter at DiBiaseLOE for those links. And we thank DraftKings for sponsoring the Lockdown Eagles podcast today. All right, everybody, welcome back to Lockdown Eagles, segment two of what I like to call today the Coordinators Cast. We talked about how Mike Groh might not be the answer for the Eagles long-term as offensive coordinator. He's a young guy. He's in his first year at it. There's been some good things with the offense this year. I think they have improved in the fourth quarter. For the most part, yards has not always been an issue in the second, third, and fourth quarters. But the first quarters so far this season, pretty much, they've been the worst first quarter offense. And that, a lot of it, reflects on the coaches. Because when has the Eagles offense got going? When Carson Wentz in the offense has to come back, when they're just playing up-tempo, loose, less scripted football. Whereas in the first quarter, a lot of the success on offense comes from the coaching staff. And I think a big part of that last year, the big part of the Eagles being so good on offense last year, being number one in the red zone, Carson Wentz being an MVP candidate before he got hurt, Nick Foles being a Super Bowl MVP after Carson Wentz got hurt. A lot of that was on John DeFilippo. And again, we don't know how much, but you see the videos of him coaching up Carson Wentz in training camp. You see the hands-on approach, how he pushed Carson. They kind of went back and forth and they pushed each other, and that helped both of them. And Flip was supposed to be the next head coaching candidate, right? The next people are trying to find that next Sean McVay, that next Doug Peterson, right? Or Matt Nagy now with the Chicago Bears. And it seemed like John DeFilippo might be that guy after getting a nice gig in Minnesota with a really good receiving core in Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs, a great young running back in Dalvin Cook. You bring in Kirk Cousins, you pay him $84 million, hoping that he is your quarterback to take the next step in your playoff run this year. And it seemed like John DeFilippo, after that, might propel himself, even just a year down the road, into a head coaching job. Well, he was fired today, before the season even ended, in Minnesota. Could he come back to the Eagles? If you ask me, I am all for it. I don't even know how much of this is really on DeFilippo when it comes to the Vikings' failures on offense this year. For one, they said Mike Zimmer was upset they weren't really running the football. We know how Mike Zimmer is. He's a defensive-minded coach. That's really how they've had success the past couple of years, is they were a ground-and-pound offense, and they beat you with their suffocating defense with extremely great young talent. Their defense has not been the same this year. A lot of this is on Mike Zimmer. I don't know if he's feeling the heat on the hot seat, considering how much... I mean, we talk about how the Eagles have regressed from winning a Super Bowl to being 6-7 this year. Minnesota's 6-6-1, and they were one game away from making the Super Bowl last year. So Minnesota's feeling the heat just as much as Philly. The difference is Doug Peterson got the ring. So maybe Zimmer's feeling the heat a little bit, and he had to make a move on Filippo, or he just maybe didn't like Filippo's philosophy. That might be what it is. But when you ask me, how much of this is on John DeFilippo for not running the football and for not having the success that he had in Philly and that Minnesota's had on offense in the past? When you look at it, why would he run the football when they're 28th in yards per carry? Dalvin Cook, for the most part, has been hurt all season long. He's been dealing with a similar hamstring injury that Sidney Jones has been dealing with this year. Those take a long time to get right, and he's finally getting back into it, and now Filippo was fired. Their offensive line is one of the worst in NFL history this year. The 2018 unit in Minnesota up front is awful. So it's kind of hard to establish the run with all those factors. You know, the offensive line looks historically bad with the Vikings. And you know what, too? And maybe John DeFilippo was maybe being a little bit too ambitious. Maybe he did have his eyes set on a head coaching job next year. And I don't blame him. Again, he was... A couple weeks ago, you asked me who was going to be the next hot head coaching candidate next year. I was going to say John DeFilippo. He was even interviewing for head coaching jobs leaving Philadelphia this past offseason. So maybe there is some stuff on him when it comes to play calling. But Kirk Cousins is a guy right now that has won maybe 4 or 5 impressive games in his entire career. He stinks. Kirk Cousins stinks, and they paid him $84 million. So what does John DeFilippo do? They go out and get that quarterback to be the face of your offense. He's trying to max out that quarterback. He's trying to utilize one of the best tandems of wide receivers in Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen in the league. So for me, I'm all in on him coming back as the offensive coordinator, or maybe he's a special consultant to Doug. Maybe they don't fire Mike Rowe, and they want to add DeFilippo back to this offensive coaching staff with Mike Groh, with Doug Peterson, with Deuce Staley. And I'm all for that. I think, again, his hands-on work with Carson Wentz was extremely underrated. And I think DeFilippo's character, I think that mind, that familiar face for Wentz, I think Carson Wentz could really use that right now. And even if it's not for these 3 games, but if he's coming in next year, that's huge for Carson Wentz. This could be set for a big bounce back season next year. Not that he's been having a terrible season this year, but next year he'll be fully recovered from that torn ACL, right? More than a year and a half healthy coming into the regular season in 2019. You have John DeFilippo still back on the coaching staff. Get that confidence back in Carson Wentz. I think that would be huge for the Eagles offense. And also, again, he had the red zone. He ran the red zone offensive game plan. They were number one in red zone offense last year. So that's another thing John DeFilippo can bring to the table. I just think that since he's not going to have to worry about calling plays, he can focus on continuing to develop Carson Wentz to be more hands-on with the offense, with the game plan. And yeah, he probably wants to call plays. It's why he left for Minnesota. He wants to be a head coach. So Philadelphia might not be the ideal place for him, because there's no way Doug Peterson will nor should give up play calling duties. So he might take a job, maybe say it with the Atlanta Falcons. I could see that. But I think his best opportunity, if he wants to be a head coach in a couple years, why not go back to a place that you helped build an offensive juggernaut last year that won a championship, right? Don't take on the pressures right now of calling plays. Take that next step from QB coach last year to an offensive coordinator position with the Eagles this year and maybe next year. I mean, although they're not going to fire Mike Rowe as the OC this year. So, but say they bring him back on staff right now or in the offseason to be an OC or a consultant to Doug Peterson, just on the staff. If he takes that next step and he helps rebound this offense, that's going to go a long way for his head coaching aspirations. I think he would have his best shot as an OC here. And again, I don't know if his ego, I don't know if, you know, the confidence I'm sure he has in himself and as a play caller and wanting to get a more fair shot than he had in Minnesota. Because he probably thinks, too, he was gypped in Minnesota, and he should. I don't think a lot of that was on John DeFilippo. I think he was in a position where he had a rough offensive line, an injured running back, a quarterback that cannot step up in big moments. And that's what he had to overcome. And he had to overcome a defense with Mike Zimmer, his unit in Minnesota, that was underperforming. So I'm not trying to totally discredit John DeFilippo getting fired. It should be a concern. But for the Eagles and what they need right now, they're not asking him to step in and be the head coach. They're not even asking him to step in and be the play caller as the offensive coordinator. They need a fresh mind, someone that's proven to have success with this offense, with this young franchise quarterback in Carson Wentz. Bring John DeFilippo home. The Eagles blocked him from getting OC jobs the past couple years for a reason. They think he's a special coach. And you shouldn't think that him getting fired by Minnesota means that he wouldn't be able to help this team. It should not deter you from bringing John DeFilippo back, because there's a lot of factors going into that firing in Minnesota. A lot of it. And a lot of it could just be Mike Zimmer and just a different view when it comes to what they want their offensive and just team philosophy to be. And eventually, Zimmer's feeling the heat right now. They're barely hanging on to the sixth seed. He might have wanted to make a quick change to try to save this season. So not a lot of that's not on John DeFilippo. I'm bringing Flip back to Philly. So Gino came up with hashtag grow without grow yesterday. I'm bringing hashtag Flip to Philly today. Let's take one more break here on the Lockdown Eagles podcast. When we come back, we're going to continue the coordinators cast, flip the script, talk a little bit about Jim Schwartz, who could be getting some head coaching interviews this offseason. That's coming up next right here on the Lockdown Eagles podcast. All right, everybody, welcome back to the final segment of this Tuesday edition, Lockdown Eagles. Louis DiBiase joining you. If you missed any of our past shows, please subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts and leave a review if you could, a 5-star rate. Do appreciate all the listener feedback. Follow us on Twitter at LockdownBirds, at DiBiase LOE, and at Gino_LOE. So I talked about how I think bringing back John DeFilippo would be huge for this offense. Honestly, maybe even promoting him to OC and demoting Mike Groh if DeFilippo was interested in coming back. And I don't know if he would, because, again, I don't know if he thinks that he didn't get a fair shake with the Vikings. I think that's realistic to believe if you're John DeFilippo, 100%. But regardless, I think that's something the Eagles should really look into. There could be a lot of coaching change this offseason with the Eagles. Who knows? Maybe they decide to keep Mike Groh and they give him another year. And they really double down on the coaching staff they have right now. And you hope that Doug Peterson himself takes another step in 2019. And he doesn't really need John DeFilippo back with the Eagles. But you also could have potentially a new offensive coordinator. You could bring in another offensive mind. And you might have another defensive coordinator. So Jim Schwartz could be getting head coaching interviews this offseason. I think it's very possible. And so my question to the fans out there, if you're listening, do you want, is it something that you're going to be disappointed in if Jim Schwartz ends up getting a head coaching job? Because to me, overall, I feel like in the 3 years Schwartz has been with this defense, it's been a success. The defense has been very good under Jim Schwartz. They've overcome a lot even this year when it comes to injuries, when it comes to player regression with Nigel Bradham and Jordan Hicks, and Jalen Mills and Ronald Darby, I feel like, took a step back this year. Although a lot of it had to do with scheme with Schwartz, I feel like he did have to overcome a lot, and the Eagles statistically still look like a pretty solid defense. However, for me, I just think that it's a philosophy thing, it's a way of thinking, it's just the style of coach that he is. It's not something I prefer anymore. And it's not, I wouldn't say that I want him to be fired if he doesn't get a head coaching job next year, but if he gets a job next year, good luck, man. Like, I'm happy for you. Thanks for helping us get a ring last year. But more power to you. I'm excited to see what the new guy brings in when it comes to a way of thinking on how to coach up defense. Because it's just, for me, it's not the way... I just don't like the style that he brings. You know, I thought he adjusted well at times this year, but there were too many instances of examples of him staying set in his ways, and it hurt the team. I think eventually he did adjust the picket fence defense on third and longs, right? I thought eventually he did bring his corners down more, stop giving up the short yardage plays, but there's still way too many times where that's a problem, where on third and three, you had Sidney Jones last week lining up 10 yards behind the line of scrimmage and taking steps back, where he's backpedaling. There were too many times where that was still the case, where the soft defense, the soft coverage, not caring about short yardage. That is something that bothered me. I think that it's telling when on third and 13 plus, your fans still are like, man, are they going to be able to stop this offense and get off on third down? And that's what we've been feeling this year. It might just be a down year for the defense, and a lot of it, again, has to do with the injuries, and some of the players are not playing the same way that they're used to, even on the defensive line. But for me, it's a style thing with Schwartz. The things like not changing your corners on one side or the other when Amari Cooper's destroying Bosby and Jones and you have Rasul Douglas playing the game of his life on the other side and you don't move him and Cooper ends up scoring two touchdowns that put your team in a hole. It's things like that where Schwartz he's a stubborn coach that he's going to kind of stick with, and he's not going to adjust as often as someone else might. And that is a key. Again, you heard on our podcast yesterday, adjusting is, if it's not the number one thing that coaches need to do to have long sustained success in the NFL and just pretty much any sport, it's got to be top five. I think obviously this defense can be successful down the road still with Jim Schwartz. They have been all 3 years for the most part. But I don't know, I'd kind of be excited to have a new guy come in here and see what kind of style they bring. If it's a more aggressive style, I don't know, I still like the 4-3 base with nickel being the primary defense. I mean, that's just the way the NFL is going. For the most part, you're going to have three corners out there and two safeties and two linebackers. That's just how, for the most part, it's going to go. But man, the defense, they only had 8 interceptions so far this year. They only have 4 fumbles recovered. And a lot of that has been just the defense has been playing to not get burned. We have not seen that aggressive mentality even that Schwartz's defense has had in the past couple of years. So, I don't know. We'll see if he ends up... I don't know if he's going to get a head coaching job. But it'll be interesting to see what happens. I'm a little excited to see if someone else came in and ran this defense. Because I don't think it's going to be a drastic change. Look, I think Schwartz has been a good coordinator for the Eagles. But I don't think suddenly if he is gone, you're seeing this defense. If the personnel, for the most part, stays the same way, if you find a way to re-sign maybe one or both of Jordan Hicks and Brandon Graham, you draft another defensive lineman, you still have Fletcher Cox out there and Derek Barnett, and Michael Bennett is going to be back. and Nigel Bradham, and I think your defense with Rodney McLeod back and Malcolm Jenkins and Sidney Jones finally healthy, like this defense is still going to be really good next year. Personnel-wise, that defense is not going to become one of the worst in the league. So it would be interesting to see what this unit, with this personnel, a couple more rookies coming in, some more talent, maybe you bring someone in free agency or a trade like you did last year with Bennett. It would be interesting to see what this team does with another coaching philosophy on defense. It'd be interesting. But regardless, we could be in for a very chaotic offseason when it comes to the Eagles coaching staff. Or there could be no changes at all. We'll see. But for me, I'm excited about the potential of John DeFilippo coming back. When you look at his motivations, not sure if it's going to happen, but I think he would have one of the best opportunities to rebound and become a hot head coaching candidate again if he came back to Philly and helped turn around this offense. And Mike Groh did not help his case. That's two of my big takeaways from today's podcast. And for Jim Schwartz, not going to be upset if he's still the defensive coordinator next year. But again, I think they'd be okay if he got a head coaching job somewhere else. It'll be interesting to see. This has been the Locked On Eagles podcast. Thank you for everyone that tuned in to today's show. Excited about tomorrow. We have our crossover Wednesday on the Locked On Podcast Network with Locked On Rams. So we move on to a big Sunday night matchup between the Eagles and the Rams in LA. It's the Carson Wentz revenge game, and we start previewing that tomorrow. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Birds, at DiBiase LOE, and at Gino_LOE. Please subscribe to the podcast and follow us on all our platforms, including LockedOnEagles.com. Thanks for downloading. Thanks for listening. And let's go, Birds.